feel so wanted in these retreats. We would like to give inspirations as we can for devotees to change the direction of their spiritual life. Very often, as members of a movement that spreads a mission, instead we become carried away by big talk. So I'm still thinking how things will go on. And Srila Prabhupada uses the word mad for Krishna. He doesn't mean something that needs to be treated with psychotherapy and strong medication. State of absorption of the mind in Krishna to the exclusion of other things. So, yes. In our retreats, we try to give inspirations, perspectives, etc., that can change us, change our perspective, and can help us to go deeper into this direction. So I will sing a little kirtan. I still see the devotees are digesting. And most probably it's the left side which they practice. So this. This time my seminar will be called Breathing Life into Our Japa. Thank you. I want to affectionately welcome all of you who have come to this class. I will try to make it as relevant as possible. I must say, I very, very, very much appreciated Burijan Prabhu's presentation today, because I thought he really gave an answer to this most disturbing question which we always have. That is, if this holding, chanting the holy name is the most easy process in Kali Yuga, why do I have so much difficulties to complete my rounds, to remain focused when I chant, etc., etc.? And he really gave an answer, first based on a morning walk of Srila Prabhupada, which I personally thought to be of essential value. It echoes very much the teachings of Haridas Thakur. And the answer is very simple. On our own strengths, it is not possible. Therefore, this is what Prabhupada says. So our method is to pray to Krishna to give us the necessary strength. That's all. And then a little later, therefore this one practice, chanting and hearing, and this is a third item, praying for strength. Please give me strength. Hari, O energy of Krishna. O Krishna, I am fallen. I have no strength. I am not qualified. I am trying my best, but I fail. And please, please help. Give me the strength. Please accept me. Very nice point. Haridas Thakur also brings this point. He says, simply by one's own strengths, it is impossible to control the material mind. Such a victory over the mind is only possible by your mercy. Therefore, it is absolutely necessary for me to pray for your mercy. Does anyone remember an incident here in Vrindavan when the Brijbasis prayed for Krishna's intervention, that Krishna comes and helps them, which Burijan Prabhu spoke about? I think you all remember it, but yes? Yes, when Indra sent this terrible deluge, thank you very much, Kanchayata Prabhu, and the Brijbasis turned to Krishna, praying for Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Mahabharata, Tamnatam, Gokuram, we take shelter in you, Krishna. And because the Brijbasis, they are absolutely accustomed to this, surrendering to Krishna. Krishna responded, he said, it is my, by my power, I must protect them. This is my vow. Krishna has made a vow. He protects the devotees. This relationship, I want to tell you about Krishna's vow. When Krishna was leaving Vrindavan, he said, yes, beloved father, Nanda Maharaj, after whom he's named Nanda Tanuya, or Nanda Nandana, takes a vow, Buddhist vow, I will never forget my dear Brajavasis. I will always keep them in my heart. This is what Krishna does to surrendered devotees. Even to not so surrendered devotees, when Ajamil chanted the holy name out of desperation, he was still quite unconscious, huh? Family where I was growing up with a magazine, it's called Das Bild der Wissenschaft, the image of science, or the perspective of science, a very famous scientific journal. And we were children, spoon-fed with this. I must admit, I have sometimes a mechanic approach to Krishna consciousness. How could it have? What technique? Some of you have seen that perhaps yesterday or in my other presentations. Yes, techniques can help us to fine-tune our own effort, and our own effort is always very important in chanting. But of greater importance is the mercy of Krishna. And if we sincerely, if we learn to turn to Krishna, for this mercy, then we will breathe new life in our chanting. To be more correct, it's not that new life, we breathe new life in our chanting. It is that Krishna breathes new life in our chanting. And sometimes requested by large assemblies of devotees to sing kirtan. And on one such occasion I learned this lesson. I was in Mayapur for the kirtan mela, and I had been given a slot where there was a big attendance during the evening time. Two temple halls were absolutely full, and I was now singing a kirtan. I still remember the tune. question because I knew my audience was very responsive to emotions. And this tune we call the emotional melody, it evokes emotions and it usually works at the end. Everyone is up and prays and stretches their hands and so on. It pulls on the heartstrings. I'm now giving away a few of my evil secrets. This time, nothing worked. I was so dry, and devotees started to get up and leave the kirtan. Children screamed. The violin was out of tune. There were four Medanga players, all of them with a certain ethnic understanding of kirtan, the faster the better, you know, and I was a different one, and they were always accelerating, and nothing, everything fell apart, and my patient had also gone apart. I was just a centimeter before saying, my dear devotees, that does not work. Let us do something else in this kid, and let's wait for the next kid. I was really getting nervous and uncontrolled thoughts and so on. Then I remembered simply by one's own efforts it is not possible. And I sincerely prayed to Krishna, please Krishna, my dear Lord Krishna, these devotees have come to Mayapur to be enlivened in Krishna consciousness. They should not suffer because of my insufficient Krishna consciousness. These are your people. They have given everything. Kindly give life to this kirtan. And then the next mantra came and the Medanga player left on me, started to really accelerate. I just gave him that German look and he froze to the ground. He almost fainted. He gave this Medanga to someone else. Second mantra also, it was still desert kirtan. But I had by now, the German look was the last thing which I did in that category, because it was not very offensive. It was just like this. By now I was trying to surrender. Giving this kirtan to you, I will give my best, my Lord. And I do not know, my dear devotees. I always remember that at the end, everyone was in a prayerful mood. The devotees had to tap me on the shoulder, said, Maharaj, your slot is over. What? I thought it is not a bad that I chanted so long. It is over, not here. Sorry. I ended the kirtan, and it was a very devotional experience. I believe for others, but most of all for me, because I had learned this on my own. It is a limited condition, but Krishna can work through even imperfect instruments. He is Vibhu, all powerful. So I wanted to just say there is chanting with nectar. No, there's chanting without nectar, says Sri Goswami, and there is chanting with nectar. The chanting without nectar is when one is either just on his his own dream. What do you mean? Not praying to Krishna for strength, not remembering Krishna, not remembering what he does at this part of the day, not thinking of his form, not of his dear most Radharani and so on. There's this type of chanting without nectar, where one is more or less only with the syllables, the outward syllables of the holy name, and then there is chanting with nectar, where there is Krishna and Krishna's name. There is not just only chanting. There are two types of chanting, and it is necessary to see for us how we can come into the second category. I would like to tell you a story, because after lunch we need to, at least some of the devotees I know need to come back to life and to thinking. There is an incident that was reported in the newspaper. Shishir Kumar Ghosh. Yes. Reported there. It is about a visit of Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur and Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, who was still young at that time, to the village of Kulagram. Perhaps you remember it was in Kulagram that Haridas Thakur, during his life, was also there and chanted. And it is visited by Parikrams. It's a holy place, and they arrived in the afternoon. Their reason was they wanted to visit, all the holy places of Kulagram, and they looked just for accommodation. The evening sun started to come, just like us, and they passed an old temple which stood at the outside, or outskirts, you say, of Kulagram. Suddenly a man came out of the temple and said, please spend the night in the temple here, and tomorrow you may proceed and see the holy places and so on. And Bhakti Vinod Thakur, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, agreed to the priest, spread some mattresses, and they took a rest. Now around midnight, something most unexpected and disturbing happened. The bricks were thrown through the place where they were at this temple. I don't know if it was the temple room or just next to the temple room. Bricks came sailing through the air, we say in German, translating into English. Is it clear? The bricks that just really heavy bricks, and they were thrown from different directions. So back to Vinod Thakur, he got up on his mattress, took his pivot and chanted very loudly, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare, Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare. And it was good, good verse, and the heart was howling and screaming. It was a ghostly, haunted temple. Yeah, I was surprised also. I thought there is no ghostly, haunted temple, but there is. And I remember, yes, in one temple, some devotees were often attacked by a ghost in Heidelberg, Germany. This was, yes, I remember now, there is, yes. So, in the morning, so after some time, after half an hour, all the disturbances, including the wailing and howling, stopped. No more bricks were thrown. Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Bhaktisiddhanta resumed their resting. previously serving in the temple has turned into a dangerous ghost. He is frustrated, he's angry, he's restless, and so on. After you know, Taco was interested, what did this priest do? The people reported he chanted almost all day. Newspaper. This is true. But his character was not good. He was stealing from the donation box and using, and he had some immoral activities. But how is it the people he tended? Must have chanted with offenses. Yes, even in the Bhagavatam 6:3-24 it says, even inattentive chanting releases one from sinful actions, but only as long as it is done inoffensive. And you chant, and you continue with sinful activities at the side, then there is karmic reactions. So the people ask, well, how can our priest from before be released? And most people, they didn't think, oh God, he has become a ghost. Sinful wretch, no, they were concerned, how can he be released? But you know, Tapa says, if he meets a bona fide sadhu, a genuine connection with Krishna. And here's the Bhagavad Gita in the Srimad Bhagavatam from his lips. Can he be released? The point here is the physical sound of the chanting is not the real name. The chanting cannot just be lip deep, in other words. And then you do something. You know, some people who say, Maharaj, I'm so inspired to you. Many come to me from you. And I say, yeah, I'm so inspired about your teachings on the chanting. I said, you must have read my books. No. Then how can you? I'm not asking. And perhaps you have heard some lecture I've never seen. No, Maharaj, I'm just so inspired. Then I know it is a lip deep statements are very common. How are you feeling? Nice. I can look in your face and I see you carry a lot of pain in your heart. How can you say that it's nice? Or people come to me and say, Maharaj, please forgive my offenses. And I say, what offenses did you do? Why do you say forgive my offenses if you have not done any? Lip deep. We enter that century of the lip deep people. Chanting on your japa, talking, looking in their mobile telephones. Their heart is somewhere else. But the mouth is chanting. Krishna, Krishna, Hari. The chanting, this is the physical sound, but not yet the real name. The real name, Bhaktisiddhanta says, the most important thing is the spiritual realization taking the name. Otherwise, it's more, like Prabhupada said in the Sydney temple, they had one parrot at the entry, and the parrot used that if you go to him, then the combined kindness of myriads of mothers like me will be surpassed by his affectionate and tender dealings. When everyone fails to mitigate one's misery, Krishna is able to help the devotee. As soon as one places the Supreme Personality of Godhead within one's heart, everything becomes easy and successful. What do you think? Krishna has made this vow to take care of his devotees. But the devotee must turn to him. Personally, I find this is such an easy and yet such a difficult point. It is easy to comprehend, but it takes sometimes many experiences in life in which we try our best to solve things on our own before we finally can turn to Krishna. We are not often in the mood to turn to Krishna because we are accustomed in this world to take care of our own self. One scientist says human being is a mechanism that is programmed for survival. All the cells work in that direction. And it takes sometimes the heavy hammer. Sledgehammer. Do you say sledgehammer? Do you know? Before we finally give up my genetic program here to try to do things on my own. And I'm turning to you. It's somehow not stored in our genetic memory to do so. And that's why we constantly avoid it. And only when we hear in Suravikund Bhujan telling us to turn now and to pray to Krishna, then even if we are told to pray to Krishna, how do I do this exactly now? But then everyone around me does it, and I don't want to be a complete failure. So then I also try. It's like this. But this praying for strength is only possible if you have Sambandha Dhyan. If you know from the Gita who you are and who Krishna is, as long as you are identified with the body, you can't do this. I saw this to someone for the last week. It was really amazing. I've made notes and observed them from the distance to study the psychology. There was not one little possibility that person who was totally identified with the body and mind to turn to Krishna. I could see. So therefore, you must practice humility. And I would like to now give you a sadhana. This is a practice should only in a humble state of mind you can always chant. Have you heard this in the lecture? One time or how many times? Multiple times. Multiple of God. Then we don't need to add here another thousand lecture, one of the thousand lectures. But how do you do this? Where can you anchor humility in the heart? I heard this from Bhaktivedanta Goswami Maharaj, and I have also my own thoughts on this, so I will now phenomena of humility, which I personally think is really very good. So that our humility stops being lip deep and we just say things and becomes realized and becomes something that is really there in our heart as a deeply realized feeling of contrition. Steps are required. The first is in the heart. That's the deepest place of us. We have to go from inside out. We should repent that we are not able to really chant the Holy Name. We should face the situation and our heart should feel sorry. Good example from the Bhagavatam is Ajamil. He had chanted, but you know his chanting was not on the highest category. He really called for his son. It was not for the Lord. The Lord was so kind to count it as chanting. But he really, but he was nevertheless saved. And afterwards, there are some beautiful prayers of repentance. There, Ajamil repents. He says, I became a dancing dog in the hands of Maya. I became a dancing dog in the hands of Maya. I gave up my Brahminical culture. And he said a few laments, that the spiritual laments that soften. Then we must practice humility with our mind. We need to take a healthy perspective and don't look at us through the looking glass of the ego, but have a vision of reality and see, yes, this is, I'm a conditioned soul still. I have these flaws. Be more specific. Maybe it's good if we start first with the mind, you know, and analyze a little, because then we can repent with the heart. And then we should practice humility with the body. We should have a seva position and do pranam. I remember once in one of our Ramadan retreats, we had an exercise which was very challenging for some of our participants. After half of a session, I don't know who of us, we asked our participants to take a plastic bag and now go and clean Giriraj. And they went. Throw everything. I don't want to use my fantasy to describe to you what they throw on the ground. Some things are really unpalatable, like warm clothing and so on. And we asked them to do this. And then afterwards, and in the beginning, they thought, what? I remember someone also of our Indian let's do this. Yesterday, also two of the devotees did this, and I asked them, how did you feel? And they said, when they had done it, we felt so peaceful. Yes, because you have practiced humility with the body now. This is good for everyone to do. In the history of Vaishnavism, you see that there is one queen from Kashmir who had heard from her maidservants the glories of Vrindavan. And when she comes finally to Vrindavan, she jumps down from her palanquin and starts to dance. And as she dances, overcome with devotional service, she becomes ecstatic and all her ornaments go off. The head, it goes off. I don't know what creeds here, but this goes off from the sari. Then there's some expensive ornaments. And then she became aware of people have watched her. And she just put her head down and went. Her maidservant went after and said, "Queen, what's with the ornaments?" And she said, "I'm here. I'm no longer a queen. Let the good people of Braj take the ornaments." Next morning, the queen was seen in a simple white zari with a jaru. Jaru is a brush. It is made from sticks. And she was a broom. Thank you. And she was brooming, sleeping. Giriraj Maharaj has always nourished me with his affection. She was sleeping on the ground. The Govardhan. And then everyone started to see her and look at this. Then she did it in the early morning and no one saw. When this queen was finally put into samadhi, the broom was placed on her chest as her instrument of service. She had practiced humility with the body throughout her life as a devotee of Krishna. Before she was used to royal comfort, but then she changed. So humility should not be an empty word for us. How exactly? Think about yourself with a vision of reality. We are at the same time our biggest fan, and when things go wrong, our worst critic. I told you, you are always useless, and you will remain useless. Our mind tells us that at times when things go well, mind is our biggest fan. So, both of these perspectives are not the vision of reality. We should see ourselves from a neutral observer position. Just see it as our mobile camera film function would see us. And then repent or regret our state. And then that's something for the heart. And the body can use seva, engage in seva. Have you ever heard the word menial service? It's so good. Like, I'm now a little older in Krishna consciousness, and everyone always wants to carry things and do things. But it's not good for me. I should clean the bathroom. Sometimes I do. It's very good, menial service, so that, because then the vision of reality. speech will be humble. If you want to speak humbly, you must avoid jalpa or pre-prayer jalpa, where you just talk. And you must also avoid vitanda. That's arguments. This and that and this side and that side. That will corrupt your intelligence and speech. And, go for vada. Vada means truth in your talk. This is austerity of the tongue. And for someone who aspires to become a humble person, he should avoid these two other talks of speech. And yes, and praise devotees. But praise hardly, not lip deep. It is, will corrupt you. This lip deep culture will corrupt you. I know one town in Europe, I will not tell the name because those who live in the town will become sad. But there, people talk to you, and whatever they say, they only want to say nice things. I saw this also in America this time. Our culture turns into pleasing. We want to please, probably to have benefit from this. They say, "This was the best class I ever heard, Maharaj." Raise your full attention and look deep. And I say, Prabhu, if you would have seen, this is the verses class I've ever heard, and you would have given me one point that educated you, I would praise you as a great soul. But if you say meaningless words, Prabhuji, I do not know how to look with happiness in your eyes. This is, yes, our culture is on the slide, is on the slide, on the down, the word is not. Good. The point here, which we come to, is we should chant hearty, we should chant with a quality of feelings. All of you know the verse from the Bhagavatam, Janmaishvarya Shuddha Srimir Enamana Madhapuman Naivahadhyabhidatum Vai Tvamakinchanado Chalam. My Lord, your Lord can be, your Lordship can be easily approached, but only by those who are materially exhausted. One who is on the path of material progress, trying to improve himself with respectable parentage, great opulence, high education, bodily beauty, cannot approach you with sincere feelings. These four things are marking the outward facing person whose statements will be mostly lip-deep. He is trying to he values respectable parentage, great opulence of wealth, a high education, and bodily beauty. But if you are outwardly facing like this, you will miss Krishna in the heart. It is said in the Shastras, Prabhupada says, by once uttering the holy name of the Lord, the sinner gets rid of a quantity of sins that he is unable to commit. Such is the power of uttering the holy name of the Lord. You may say, but the priest, he chanted the holy name, and it says here, he should be free from a quantity of sins that he's unable to commit. So, you know, this plundering the donation box and the immoral activities should be gone. The one chanting, if he was chanting all day, the Prabhupada continues, but there is a quality to such utterances. It depends on the quality of feeling, of hati. Have this man been feeding me utter the holy name of the Lord. As a man who utters the same holy name with great material satisfaction cannot be so sincere. Just not possible. So yes, my dear devotees, this is the science of chanting. Formulas can help on our or techniques on the side of endeavor. They are important. But only turning to the Lord with helplessness can help on the side of obtaining that mercy. Because the Lord's heart is moved by such a prayerful mercy-seeking nature of the soul. I would like to now come to the end and turn all this into a practice so that you will benefit. Would you like, should we chant Nam Sankirtan singing? Maybe singing, isn't it? Enthusiastic? Not so sleepy? Good. Good. My dear devotees, I request you to sit in an attentive listening position. You have practiced that already. We are here next to Dhiraj. I think from your position you can see him there and there. We can feel his powerful presence in our life. If we would like to breathe some life into our chanting, we have heard that the syllables of the holy name, they are alphabetic sounds, you know, mixed together. They are not the holy name itself. And the holy name comes when we turn to him with a sincere prayer from mood and chant in a humble state of mind. I request you on the sound to just think with your mind what this could mean for you. I will give you a hint. Look back into your life, into your chanting. There were good moments, but there were times when you were maybe not even chanting your prescribed number of rounds. And there were rounds which were not chanted very attentively. Use your heart now. Krishna has given the vow in front of Nanda Maharaj serving out with Adam. Perhaps there exist in other ways. Maybe to spend time with someone, get them your attention. Something practical. Let us now turn to Krishna. Krishna, thank you very, very, very much for listening for so long. I would greatly appreciate if there are any questions from my audience. I see Gaura Hari, I see the devotee behind you, let's see the Madhuri section. At the moment, no one, not there in the back, yes. And here, so many, Panchal. It's a question, Panchalatnava. Yes, and then there's here. So, yeah, so Gaura Hari first. And Satya. Satya will. I overlooked you, Satya.
Thank you.
was His Holiness Giriraj Maharaj who first made me aware of this quotation. It is found in a biography of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati. So I will read it. Hari Kirtan must go hand in hand with Hari Katha. Otherwise, it is like worshipping Krishna without Radha. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati revealed that Hari Katha is the Svarup Shakti of Harinam. Just as Krishna is properly worshipped not alone, but with his Svarup Shakti, Sri Radha, recitation of Harinam is incomplete and improper unless accompanied by hearing Hari Katha. Reading the scriptures regularly has, of course, in the first, you know, when you look at it at first glance, it is just increasing the faith. Prabhupada said this in one of his prefaces, I believe it was Bhagavatam 1, the first volume, but yes, it was there. It was there. But these books are meant to increase the faith so that you can think of Krishna, really. But there is something else going on. This Hari Katha, or hearing about Krishna, makes the holy name complete. It is not complete without it. See, it will be in fact only a shadow. You have to have what is called samanda, a relationship that is attained by listening to Hari Katha. So when you feel that your general devotion is, you can't access it any longer so easily, it's almost as if the groundwater table on a dry summer sinks and sinks and sinks, and it's increasingly difficult to dig water from the ground or get water from the ground. So sometimes in our spiritual life that happens. Somehow our feelings of devotion seem to go further and further away from us so that we can't access it. It's important to hear. And we hear. Hearing, I mean, reading will also do the job. I heard that the books are condensed sound. The sound vibration is there in the letters of the scriptures. So reading counts also as hearing because you come in contact with this condensed sound vibration, but hearing especially from a good devotee to Hari, that is important because together with the devotee, with what you hear, you get also the devotion. May I ask you a question? We all like, let us assume all of us like honey. Now it is said the sweetest, most fragrant honey is the honey from lotus flowers. How do you get lotus flower honey? Do you go to the lotus flower and get it from there? No. You have to go to the beehive, which is nearby, because it's the bees who can collect the honey from the lotus flower, whereas we as humans are lacking the instruments to collect it directly from the flower. So I go to the devotees of the Lord, who are just like bees, who taste the nectar of Krishna from his lotus feet. And then when these devotees speak, then I go in the assembly or must tell you very honestly. I mean, first of all, I should say I'm struggling with my chanting. One day I was almost too embarrassed. I'm so embarrassed. But I have at least some faith that this process works. And I obtained it through a thorough study of Prabhupada's books. It was when I couldn't go on in my Krishna consciousness. I mean, I didn't feel the nectar any longer of Krishna consciousness of the early days. And also something which was very helpful was I met a devotee. He has left his body since the time. He was very old at that time, above 100 years old. He was a godbrother of Prabhupada, very, very, very affectionate godbrother who has helped our movement in many ways. It was it was a very wonderful relationship which our movement had to this devotee. And I asked him for advice, and he spoke to me, but in Bengali. I can't understand Bengali. But when I left that room, I knew what I had to do. Because so much of the heart concern of the devotees, the honey, so to say, came. I had understood, of course, some things like verses. I recognized verses. And then he spoke, Harinam, Harinam. Nam Shankitan, Nam Smaran, Nam this, Nam that. Then, of course, that you can understand, but these are little things. So, I think our devotion runs dry from time to time when we are not placing enough emphasis on staying from hearing from devotees. I saw something that you are actually the next one. Please, do we have a microphone? For Satya is most probably our oldest member in the Govardhana retreats. When she was a little child, she was already coming. Yes, please speak now. Let's go first question, you know. Something it doesn't do its work really nicely. Maybe Please listen now carefully. It seems that these two concepts, humility and confidence, are opposed to each other. But this is actually a misconception. They are not opposed to each other. In fact, a humble person is usually more confident. Why? Because he knows, okay, I cannot do anything on my own, but Krishna can do. I remember when I was a little child, my grandfather had told me this. When we went out of the house, I was just a little boy. My grandfather kept me at the hand because we needed to go over a road, and then there were dogs and all kinds of things. So he always had me in the hand, but the moment we were out of the house, I would just drop myself, pull my head out of the head, and then run around. And I would say, Kanaleine. It means, it's the German word, it means I can do it alone. And I remember when we passed three streets further, the house where there was this German shepherd, and he would always come out, he was behind me always, but I would immediately go my grandfather and run and put my hand in there, and then I could chase the German shepherd. Because the grandfather was there. I remember this very, very, very much in my life. So my suggestion is do some activity which is outside of your comfort zone, where you're not confident, but then do it by praying to Krishna before and say, Krishna, please, I have been asked for instance to lead kirtan, and then Krishna will usually come to your help. Maybe you have seen this, and then your confidence grows that with Krishna everything is possible. Without Krishna, I have to struggle with these issues, minority or inferiority feelings, lack of confidence, and so on. Wow. But we must know a humble person will not know jump into any type of adventure and then think, now Krishna, you have to take care of me. No. This has to be reasonable when you are engaged in devotional service, for instance, or asked to do something, or when there's a clear calling, you need to do this. Then pray to Krishna before you do the activity. If you pray to Krishna before, it's Sharanagati. If you pray to Krishna afterwards, it's Bhakti mixed with Karma Yoga, where you give to Krishna. But if you do things on your own, and then in the end you bring Krishna somehow in. But if before you do an activity, you do Krishna. You do Krishna Smaran, and you remember Krishna, pray to Krishna. At that time, you will see miracles happening in your life. So yes, there were other devotees. I saw this devotee behind. When you ask the question, I see some of you whose hand always goes up, and I wonder if it's really a question or if you want to communicate with the speaker, which is also a nice activity. Questions should be really, okay, I don't know how to now I will hope that he can give an answer to this. It must be real. No, it must not just be an urge to speak also. Mm-hmm. Good. Hare Krishna Maharaj. Maharaj, my question was, I usually chant about 16 or 20 rounds. And after about 16 or 20 rounds, my energy level really goes down. I won't be able to concentrate on the now. But I see many devotees here, you know, chanting all the time, you know, walking, etc. They're chanting 40, 50, 60 rounds. So should I, I'm feeling guilty that I'm not doing so many rounds like these devotees. So should I also continue to chant when the energy levels are down and I'm not able to focus on the names? How should I think about this?
Yeah, in chanting, my dear devotee, it is, we have a vrata, a vow of 16 rounds. Those we should fulfill. No? This we should, Prabhupada has asked us to do this. So, then we have other ingredients, other parts of our devotional service, reading, for instance, serving, worshipping, and so on. They all belong to the big package of sadhana. No? And they should all have their respective places. Only sometimes, like tomorrow, when we have our 64 rounds day, then you should go for quantity. Bhaktivinoda Thakur makes it very clear in his Prabhupada Stavarinam Chintamani that we should not be concerned with numbers. That corrupts our chanting very much. That we become, like Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, oh, I've chanted my rounds. What a counting game. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Wow, now I'm getting close to 64. Wow, 70. Irrelevant for bhakti, this type of chanting. Sometimes it's good to push yourself to, but it doesn't need to be done. But as you advance, then you should put, then you can chant more rounds. At this stage, our concentration should be on working on overcoming offenses. Because as long as we chant with offenses, you can chant for many lifetimes, says this Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami, but you will not attain love of Godhead. You can chant not just 64 rounds or 100 rounds a day. You can chant for many lifetimes and not attain anything. So offenses need to be avoided. And offenses can be avoided when you breathe life into your chanting, where it is a Krishna conscious chanting, and then your mind that is thinking of Krishna is so pure that there is no influence of the ego. Only the ego makes offenses. A pure mind avoids offenses. It's not even a, it doesn't function in the offensive domain. There are three rules which Prabhupada set for chanting. Listen now very carefully. Those who take notes, it's a good time to take notes. I have with me here a book, a photocopy of a book, The Quest for Enlightenment, Chapter 8, Srila Prabhupada states, you can chant these holy names of the Lord anywhere and at any time, but it is best to set a specific time of the day to regularly chant. Early morning hours are ideal. Then he goes, it's a long thing, I will not read the whole thing to you now because it's difficult to focus when it's a long section. But the first rule is set a specific time of the day where you regularly chant. Please note down your 4 hours before dinner, and then 4 hours for the evening before sleep. So set a specific time of the day to regulate. And my deity goes, there's magic in this prayer, in this thing. All of this at the same time, same place. It's magic. Then, this is the foundation. Then the first rule, pronounce the names clearly and distinctly. Make it like a Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Here is a little problem. Some of us can only go very slowly when they chant very clearly and distinctly. They take 10 minutes per round. And then they think, oh, my 16 rounds, how will I do them? Do I need to make a compromise now? I do not know. Usually a round is between 6 and 7 minutes, according to Bhaktivinoda Thakur's timings. He said like this. He said, you get 4 rounds done in a danda. Danda is like 21 to 24 minutes. 24. Oh, Krishna, mathematics. Yeah, 7 minutes. If you chant 7 minutes, who is intelligent here in mathematics? And isn't it when you chant 4 rounds that each takes 7 minutes, it takes how much? 74? 28, are you sure? Anyways, I remember reading so much, and I may get this wrong, that he said danda. I calculated when I saw the quotation, then I sat down with a mathematician. Then it was 6 to 7 minutes. Good. But when you chant longer, often I found when I chant longer, I'm just not focused. It's early in the morning, sometimes early in the morning, I've chanted 15 minutes per round. And then I go frustrated. I want to chant many rounds, but how did this work? Then what I do is I put the clock there. Then I say, okay, Sachinamatsami, this is not too difficult for someone who's older than 4 years. You can focus now. And then I somehow get out of this dullness which is there in the morning for some of us. Someone once asked me, can I drink a cup of coffee to get my dirt? So I said, I wouldn't do it. Maybe you stand on your head. Maybe that works. But we have these 4 rules and regulations, and this is very important for. So, okay, pronounce the names clearly and distinctly. Second rule, the first was just the foundation, same place, same time. First rule, pronounce. Second rule, concentrate. Prabhupada writes here, when your mind wanders, bring it back to the sound of the Lord's names. Concentrate. And the third is enter a prayerful mood. I think this day was all about it. I was not there for the early morning session of Puri Jan Prabhu, but I heard his 10:30 lecture that it was all about prayer. And we spoke about this also, breathing life and the chanting. These are the three simple things to start with, and from there everything else will come. You will see your mind will become purer and feel very attractive to various levels of chanting where you like to go further and further and further. Mm-hmm.
often hear of chanting in the mood of crying out for mercy. But we also hear of chant like a jubilant, joyful chanter. How can we chant and be happy, as Prabhupada said, genuinely? And are these two different moods as incompatible as they seem?
Chant and be happy, and the other is prayerful mood. Did you say prayerful, or what was the
crying? Crying out for mercy.
Crying out for the mercy. There is a very early picture of Srila Prabhupada. He stands in the courtyard of the 22nd Avenue. Next to him is a pit, a birdhouse where the birds take food in the winter, which is placed there by merciful tenants. And this picture was used in the early books, but then one editor came to Prabhupada and said, Prabhupada, in this picture you don't look so happy. And really, when you see the picture, Prabhupada looks a little bit, on first glance, his face is a little bit like after a difficult night, his disciples don't want to speak about this. He looks a little bit low on physical energy, maybe. So the editor wanted, of the PBT, wanted a bride, like this is a smiling photo of Prabhupada there in the back. He wanted such a photo. Then he came to Prabhupada and asked him for his permission to replace the photo in future editions. Prabhupada said, no, here I was in ecstasy. I cannot now interpret your laughter. Maybe it has all different reasons, but what your spiritual world or spiritual happiness looks totally different than this material thing. And you actually can cry out for happiness, for Krishna. And Krishna responds, these tears which you experience, they are the greatest joy you can imagine. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur has a book, Raj Riti Chintamani, where he says when the bridge passes, say sadness, they mean happiness. You know, it's like a redefining of language, because it's a different world altogether. And yes, and then there are moments in chanting, you know, when you're really chanting and you cry out for the mercy, it's the most exalted, delightful emotion you can imagine, and supersedes happiness, a healthy belly laughter in a comedy show by many degrees. The chanting experience is a happy process. Don't be deceived by the tear which rolls down the face of a devotee. Maybe a tear of the highest ecstasy. But yes, I also feel devotees should be. I mean, there are happy devotees, no? Is it so bad with us? No, we are. I've seen happy devotees. And then they chant. But you're right, we have seen other. But this is psychology which is going on. This is not mental functions there. So on it may not be exalted spiritual emotions. these, I will think more about this question. I'm not satisfied with my answer. I will see you and hopefully you have a better answer. What is it, what I want to convey to you in these lectures on chanting with emotions? I wanted to bring you to the understanding or appreciation of the more internal aspects that go on in chanting, because it's these internal aspects where you are connecting with Krishna. Imagine a situation where your feet is on the gas pedal of the or the acceleration of a car, but the gears are on neutral and the clutch is disengaged. What the car will do at that time is it makes a loud veering sound. Only if the clutch is engaged with the locomotive system on the car, then will the wheels turn and you move forward. So it's important to connect. It's important to connect with Krishna. Otherwise, there may be a loud sound. It may be an impressive sound at times, but it is not something that brings you forward in your spiritual life. So we heard a few things about what we could do. Yesterday there were three exercises. Today it was made mostly, I wanted to give way to Bhujan Prabhu's presentation about the need of prayer so that Krishna comes to your aid and helps you to come to the next level. We should not forget Krishna is there and he has made vows to take care of those who turn to him. Now it's up to us to turn to him, and I think each single one here, just by making the decision to go to Vrindavan and to engage in a program like this, where you only hear and chant, and be in chant, you are showing really by your activities that you wish this connection very much to happen, and I have no doubt that Giriraj will fulfill your confidential desires, either very soon or after we all have gone through the respective learning lessons that may be required. But these lessons will also be given. I must say it was a genuine pleasure to talk with you in these sessions, and I want to prepare you for tomorrow. It will be a memorable day for all of us. We will go to the place where the root of our sampradaya is. We are all rooted in Rupa Goswami's teachings. And it is said that Rupa Goswami and Sadhakam come to the help of any sincere sadhaka, and especially I think at the place where they are. So I request you to manage your sleep well. Try to go timely to bed so that you are well rested tomorrow. Take enough water bottles with you and the rest will be provided. Place, association, inspiration and so on. And try to also get rounds done before we go in the bus. The bus will leave. I think Pushanta will tell us later in the evening something like who knows on the schedule, is it 8 o'clock already? Yeah, so try to get already into the energy of chanting. Then it will be easier to use the time on the bus for you and so on. Please make a concentrated effort tomorrow, and don't forget, when you feel that your energy runs low, call out for mercy.